Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 8:36 Central African time, at the time of the morning, where we join our very own Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, a member of parliament, the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, beautiful morning in the city of Durban. The comrades is on its way. We can expect our first leaders coming in at least at around 11 o'clock this morning, I think. Bad news, Brother Shafat. Well, not so good news is Pakistan, devastating floods. Very painful to see exactly what is happening. And my plea to all members of the Ummah is to come together and let's see what we can do to assist our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Clearly, I think it is really a devastation that needs the assistance and the contribution and the du'as of our people all over the world. I know some countries are extending condolences, but I think condolences alone is not enough. If you saw exactly what happened, they're really very, very painful, very, very painful sight.
The footage was horrendous. I mean, to see those huge buildings, Ahmad, just caving in and getting into the waters. And Allahu Alam, the people there, we actually saw people going into the water. And it was horrendous to watch things like that, Ahmad. And I noticed that Imran Khan has also given a press conference. It was as if, the world is focusing more on Imran to help his own people out than the government that they have presently running it, Ahmad.
343, that's the estimate of the children alone that have died, Brother Shafat. I mean, I saw one video of how this child, they're hanging on to the tree and somebody goes there and actually saves them, and how the others are standing on the other side for over 2 or 3 hours, Brother Shafat, looking for assistance that never came, and they were swept out as well. But it's very, very painful indeed. But I know Qatar sent some condolences. I think we need more than condolences. They need to come to the assistance of our people. They're really a devastation of a very high magnitude. And I think even institutions and organizations in South Africa, we need to come together and see what we can contribute to our people in Pakistan. That's just one of, very painful news. I know you will talk about Man United later today. Yes, you've just about managed it. I think you must give all the credit to your goalkeeper, because he really put up a brave front yesterday. Otherwise, you would have got knocked out there as well. They didn't perform well, even though they've won, But the other thing is Brother Shafat, the MEC in Limpopo, humiliating this patient from Zimbabwe. I really think it is uncalled for. Where is a commitment, the oath of office that she took, particularly, as a healthcare provider? I do understand and appreciate that we have a challenge that with the number of foreigners in the country, it does impact on our health sector. It does. They also contribute to our economy in any case, but it does impact. I agree. However, that is a weakness in their own policies from the very same political party that governs, which she belongs to. She is part and parcel of those decision makings. But to go and humiliate a patient that is lying in hospital, I'm not sure whether she was trying to score points or what it is, but I think it is totally, totally uncalled for. And for a person in her position, I think, it must be condemned. If there are challenges in terms of policies, then they must deal with it. And here it has come out now that the ANC did not have a policy on immigration in the first place. And that is why they've been found wanting in any event. But I think, we must not encourage that. Brother Shafat, there's a report on an incident that happened in Spa. And I know that it is becoming big news at the moment, where one of the employees picked up the child from the trolley and told he's now been charged for attempted kidnapping and things. And the explanation that they gave, I'm not sure if we are, and I might be wrong, I'm not sure if we are, reading too much into this thing, It could perhaps just be an innocent act of kindness by the employee. But I see it's gone too far at the moment. He's been charged for kidnapping, and even the statement from SPA, even though the employee is saying, no, you know, the child just opened up the arm, so he just carried the child. You know, he might have been an innocent, but given the seriousness of what's of the crime in the country and hijackings and kidnappings and all those things, I can understand how people will react. But I think sometimes we need to be very, very careful, because there might be people with good intentions that might become the victims of this. So, yeah, that's just the other thing that is in the news.
On that point, I'd like to comment that, yeah, perhaps do a whole background check on the individual. I mean, he has any records. He's a sober individual. He's a family man. He's got children also. Why, you know, take it to this? I know there's certain groups that are so finicky that even take you to court just by looking at them. Or even greeting them. They say, oh, do you know me? Why are you greeting me? I mean, so forth. But I think the logical thing to do is do a whole background check, do a lifestyle audit on the individual. And if you see that his history is squeaky clean, give him a break, Ahmad.
You know, yeah, Brother Shafat, you know, you're correct. But more importantly, Brother Shafat, this man works there. He's got his SPA overalls on. He either works at the butcher section, the meat section, or perhaps the bakery section, but he does work there. He knows they've got cameras. He knows everything there. You understand? And apparently when they saw him, he just smiled and laughed at them, because I don't think it was with any, you know, bad intentions, you know. So I don't know. But the way they are starting to attend to this, that I think people will stop being kind as well. So we need to be a little bit, you know, careful about it. I think even SPA, from the statement that they've made, is reckless, to be honest with you. They're probably trying to protect their reputation, but that doesn't mean you must do the wrong thing. They need to look deeper into this thing to see whether, you know, there was any intent on the person or not at all. And it's not like he went away, he was somewhere with the child. She says in the same aisle, on the opposite side. Now, if you got, I don't know what you mean opposite side, because if you look at an aisle, and I've got stuff on the right side and the left side, and there is very little gap between the two sides, you know. So I don't know, but one needs to look into that, because otherwise I can tell you that people will not even want to be kind anymore, you know. In other words, you'll have to, again, I'll come back to what our brother Hassan Hawass are trying to live a normal life in an abnormal society. And it is normal for somebody to be kind, to smile at a child, you understand, and things. I mean, I stop on the streets, Brother Shafat, and I carry with me packets of chips and lollipops, and I give the children on the streets. And I do know that sometimes you say, parents will say, don't give, no, don't give. And I can understand how they feel about it. But can you see how difficult it has actually made it for us, given what is happening? You know, I was thinking about something else, Brother Shafat, as well. The number of crimes that are also committed by using a sharp instrument like a knife. Now, if you remember, Brother Shafat, many years ago, police used to check on you anywhere and everywhere. They used to just stop you and search you. Okay? Why is that not happening at the moment? Because particularly during the afternoon, I went to have a haircut yesterday, Brother Shafat. And I can tell you, these barbers that where I went to were on their nerves, eh? Because it was in the afternoon, late afternoon, and according to what they say, this is the time when criminals attack. And twice guys came there, black males came there. There were three of them wanting a haircut and another one, and they sent them away. They said, no, we only use the razor and things. But you could see they were on their nerves. Now, if police were doing stop and search on the road, that nobody should be carrying these sharp instruments, you understand, unless, of course, you just bought it and you got a receipt for it, and it's properly packed, it's a different matter. That in also will prevent a lot of the attacks that you're having at these business places and people on the street for their cell phones and things. And they're not doing it, Brother Shepherd. It is common, you know, to see. Right now, I can tell you, if you walk on the beachfront, you'll see groups of police officers standing in one corner and doing absolutely nothing. I wouldn't have a problem if they stopped me on the street to just search that I've got any sharp instrument or a firearm or anything. I won't have a problem with that because it is for the good of everybody.
Well, Ahmed, then you get these individuals that are walking blatantly in shopping malls and also on the beachfront or wherever you go with knock carries and assegais guys in the shield, and some of them even wear their regalia, and you say, hey, but you know what, these could be potential dangerous elements. And they say, you're picking on my culture. Are you racial profiling? What do you do then, Ahmed?
Yeah. I know it will be a problem, but let me tell you, brother, we have to do something, you know, to protect the people on the ground. Now, the number of attacks you're getting, not with firearms, now just with knives and that kind of stuff, people have got no right reason to be carrying such sharp instruments or anything. And 9 out of 10 times, based on the fact that a lot of the crimes are committed by repeat offenders, and if you check these people, you'll find them with that, and you go back and check, you'll find that, yes, these people have committed crimes with these things before. You know, you'll be so. I think the police also needs to do more, Brother Shepherd, to be able to try and prevent these crimes that are being committed, and they're doing very little or nothing about it. And you know, if you look at this latest statistics between firearms and with sharp instruments, I mean, it's alarming. And it was a norm. I knew that when I grew up that they'll stop you at anywhere and they'll search you. But you are correct that people want to take offense to being searched and things like that. But again, you know, the police is allowed to do that in terms of the law in the country. So then they must take advantage of that and do that. It will save them a lot of work. It will save a lot of people to become victims of crime anyway. But it'll create a safer society. Let's look at the beachfront, Brother Chavez. How often do you hear of people being attacked on the beachfront in full view of everybody with these instruments? You know, so if you had been searching these people and things like that and making sure that nobody is carrying, why would you go onto the beach and carry a knife with you, you know, or a gun? Why would you want to do that? You know, so the police, I think, need to do a lot more, not stand in the street corners and carry on their cell phones and things, as which, you know, business as usual when we have such a high crime rate in the country.
Yeah, you're looking at Spaghetti Junction also becoming a hotspot for crime, where people, when they have a breakdown, these criminals are coming out from the bushes, stabbing them, and broken bottles, and as you spoke about using these instruments of knives and so forth. And it seems as if the law enforcement, they know that is a hotspot, but they do nothing about that, Ahmed. Very sad indeed. And plus, on the national roads, we got on either side informal settlements. I mean, this too, many say it harbors all the criminals. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Brother, this, if you remember, has been going on for the last 20 years in Spaghetti Junction. And yet, you are correct, the police is doing very little or nothing about it. Now, where is your informers? If you know that these criminals are about to attack somebody and things, you've got, police informers working or assigned to each police officer in these stations. Okay? Why is there nobody monitoring these areas, knowing it's a hotspot? Now, and that is why I always say to people that when you get breakdown in those areas, immediately you need to call the police for assistance so they can dispatch a vehicle there to be there. The problem you got is even on your 10111 number, Brother Shepherd, to get through to them, it's a effort you need to put in. They hardly ever answer their phones. So can you imagine you have a breakdown there and you're battling to get hold of them, and these criminals know they must pounce immediately. That is exactly what they do.
Yeah, so, then I'm looking.
They should be doing something about it in that particular area. I agree with you.
Yeah, then you look at the insurrection, you know, when we had in July, it gave a mixed signal. I mean, when communities put up barricades, And you guess what happened? You found the law enforcement coming and lifting up those barricades. I mean, the people that were protecting themselves found that the law enforcement were actually protecting those that were threatening residents. And that made a statement. And I'm thinking about a spaghetti junction. Yeah. You understand what we're trying to get at, yeah? But
I agree with you.
What about you?
Because of the failure of the South African police services and others to protect the people there, people had no option but to go and take and put in their own security measures. It's not because people wanted to do it. Why would somebody want to leave their home and go and guard the place all day and night? They did it because they knew that the police, and I can tell you without a fact, that when I called the police myself and they told me straight, listen, people are going to have to defend themselves. We certainly don't have the capacity to be able to help them. That's exactly what they said. And that's exactly what the people did. So there's no point in them, and you are correct. They made it a racial thing at one stage, but now there's no more race involved. They've arrested a whole lot of people. Let's see what their findings is. Whether they've got the right people or not, we don't know at this stage. Because a lot of them that they've arrested say they know nothing about it. They're not involved in it at all. They just feel that they are being used. But I think it's just a matter of the government understanding that they do not have the... And I think that's the question that's coming, Brother Shafford, this week to the president on the order paper, which is on Tuesday in any case. And talking about whether the defense force and things, because we are given to understand that it is he has already engaged them to be able to be on standby. So, to work together with the South African police services. And we're asking him to give us more information on this. So it's on the order paper for Tuesday for a session with the president, yes.
Yeah, then you look at Becky Ayele. You know, he made that finding in, he went to Phoenix and he really stirred up the racial scenario there to such a level that you thought, hey, you know, things are going to get bad here. And he was actually pointing fingers at the Indians at that place. And it so happened that he played into the hands of the DA, where the DA used the slogan, "We're here to protect you." And they won many wars in Phoenix because of Bekele's rhetoric. And nothing has been finalized about that or what really happened in Phoenix. We all want to know. And then you find that also when you look at the arsonist of the parliament, we don't hear much about that. I mean, someone that burnt the buildings and going to cost the state billions and billions of rands. You hear nothing about that. And you hear about the judiciary, and you look at the courts, and you look at the police, and even our defense force. Everything is compromised, Ahmad. Your thoughts?
Yes, well, on the issue of parliament, yes, there is some new development. We've had a report on Friday by the new secretary to parliament, and he says that everything has been finalized. Pre-trial conference has been held. And the matter will be proceeding now. All investigations have been completed as far as he's concerned. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what comes off there as far as Parliament is and the fire. He's also given us an update on the, it's going to cost about a billion rand. I'm actually very curious about this 1 billion, because before they even estimated, they said it will cost about a billion, and the figures he gave us came very close to a billion. So I don't know, these are magicians, by the way. So they're just working in on these figures. It's going to take about 4 to 4.5 years, they say, to actually rebuild parliament. But there is some other measures that are being put in place presently, like maybe perhaps use of the City Hall in Cape Town and that kind of thing. Because remember, moving Parliament from Cape Town means it's an act of Parliament, means you're going to have to make necessary amendments, means it's got to be public participation. It's a long process if you want to amend the law. That's the situation. But the truth of the matter is this, that the intelligence in the country, brother, is very, very weak. You can see the other day, one of the officers from the intelligence alone. And he's now been, and I don't think it's coming to the media yet, but he's been charged because he was apparently with some prostitutes and he was robbed. This is an intelligence of the firm from the police services. And he made a false report and charged at the police station, and these women have now come forward. So you can see that in the quality of the intelligence that we have. Well, the intelligence didn't work when it came to the unrest. Clearly that, even right up to now, there's very little information that's unfolding from the intelligence. But remember that the law enforcement in the country are compromised at a very high level from a management perspective. And there too, there's a whole lot of infighting going on, like there is in the ANC government at the moment and everywhere else. So that actually, you know, compromises the quality of service that you get from these people. And so yes, it's very, very difficult situation that we find ourselves. I think the sooner we realize that if we continue the trend we are in at the moment, that we are, it's going to be self-destruction and the country is going nowhere, the better it is, so that we could, change direction. And I think it's time for us all to have, for a wake-up call that we cannot allow it to continue, because for years we have been raising concerns about a whole lot of things in the country, and all we're getting is promises and dreams from the president and others, and it's taking us absolutely nowhere.
Absolutely, Ahmad. And you remember in Wuhan when the pandemic took place, it took them 2 to 3 weeks to build, there's a skyscraper hospitals. Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks. And here you, the one square, parliamentary building, you're going to take 4.5 years. Come on. You got the technology, you got your Chinese contact. Bring them here and they'll build it for you within a month, and you got your parliament back in order. Ahmad, I mean, sometimes, we sin against our intelligence. We are fast-tracked. We've gone for a very forward with the advancement of building and technology and so forth, but we still want to play the delay game, I don't know for what, so that they stay in power and milk the country and, put us back into many, say, Stone Age. Ahmad, we have about a minute and a half to go. Your parting words this morning?
Brother Javad, you see, it's not that you don't have the capacity in the country, you do. But you're introducing policies in the country that you have to now give contracts to certain people based on your... And I give you a good example with the BEE. Now, the BEE was intended to address the inequality, and unequal society in which we live in. But clearly it's not. It's only benefiting a handful of people. And if you're going to want to rely, I mean, if you read the latest Order AG's report, and she gave us a briefing on Friday as well, on the number of contracts that have been awarded, and most of them are repeat offenders, Brother Shepherd, and they're giving the contracts to people who know nothing about the business that they're going to be busy with. Absolutely nothing. There are contracts where monies are paid before you even complete the job. So if you're going to continue, obviously, in that direction, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's why you can't do what China is doing. We've got the capacity. In fact, there's very little or nothing we haven't built in this country or didn't have the capacity to build in this country. But now we want to prefer certain people over, not about expertise and skill and capacity and ability to do the job, but it's because of the color of the skin we have to give you the job. And whether you've got the ability or not is not the issue. And most of these people are just using middlemen to do the job. And so it's never getting done. So that's the problem we got. So I think, we do have the ability. It's just that it's the wrong people that are based on the policies that we've put in. It's a problem. But lastly, my message is, if you read the report, there's an increase in hijacking, and particularly with this new system that these people are able to intercept, and it affects those with keyless starts. So I think people need to be very, very, very careful with those when you're getting. You need to be very observant when you're parking your vehicles and things, because I'm told that within seconds these guys are able to take your vehicle away. The moment you park, they're able to take them away. Yeah, that's my message to you, Brother Shafter.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmada. You have a mashallah blessed day ahead. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.